Dear listeners, as you all may be aware, we've just had Black Friday, with lots and lots of things that cut prices. And now we've just had Cyber Monday. But according to the Staggering Stories team, it means us being uploaded to the digital world, run by the MCP, the Merry Christmas Programme. Yes, where we were able to load up our digital light trolleys and fill them up with lots of goodies. However, Karen and Jean are still there, waiting to come back to the real world.
Something in Lycra.
What did you get, Keith?
Well, I got a PS5 and a half with digital add-ons and spectrographic analysis and also a giant TV.
Welcome, welcome, dear listeners, one and all, to this, the latest in our long line of Staggering Stories podcast. I'm
so very
Rumbly.
Long. I'm Adam.
And I am merely Keith.
All by yourself.
Or won't we? I'm so won't we? Got nobody.
Anyway. I want a friend.
Fake Keith and Jean have eloped.
Yes,
Well,
they're still in the digital world at the
yes.
moment.
Yes. You know, she's not going to thank you for putting her in a Tron parody.
Well, yeah, but there again, I may not be at the next podcast, you know, sort of, if I'm having my eyes operated on.
Oh, he's getting Geordie eyes.
Yes. Getting a visor.
Or a hairband, depending.
Anyway, without further ado, the merry jingle of digital currency besides, it's the news with El Presidente.
Woo-hoo! Doctor Who news!
Oh, yeah.
Troughton's colourful exit.
Hasn't he already left?
A while ago.
Yeah. Just over a year ago, on Doctor Who's 60th anniversary, the BBC gave on to us the second ever story, Daleks, in a colourisation form.
Ooh.
Reaction to that one was mixed, as it was not just colourised, but also edited down from 7 parts, 2 hours, 51 minute story, to a 1 hour and 50 minute,
ooh, blimey,
15 minute omnibus.
That is a bit of a butchering, that is.
Oh, that's nothing.
Now they have their colourised crayons and editing safety scissors out again, and have returned their attention to Patrick Troughton's final story as the lead, at least. The War Games.
Mm.
Famously, The War Game is a 10-part
epic. 10-part, bloody hell.
And has a runtime, including opening titles, credits and recaps, of 4 hours, 1 minute.
Mm.
This time, the omnibus version will be a little longer, at roughly 90 minutes, but that's a long way off the 241 of the original.
Yes, quite a butchering.
Mm, to say the least, yeah.
Again, the special effects will be updated along with the sound effects and score. What's more, this time we will be seeing the regeneration of Troughton's Doctor into Pertwee's, something missed from the original despite Pertwee's announcement only 5 days after the War Games' final episode's recording and 4 days before its broadcast.
Mm.
Current Doctor Who head honcho RTD2 said of this,
"From the day I arrived back on Doctor Who, this was the plan, to colourise old stories and bring them back to life. And on Doctor Who's day itself, it's great to announce this, celebrating the show's wonderful heritage with an all-time classic. It looked so vivid and new, and for fans of black and white, the story is in its original form, will stay on BBC iPlayer.
Copyright depending.
Mm, yes. So everyone wins. I actually watched this transmit in 1969, all 6 years old, terrified of the Roman soldiers, fascinated by villains with glinting spectacles, and in awe of the Doctor's brand new origin. Now fans old and new can enjoy it all over again."
It is currently unclear if this will be see a disc release as the Daleks did, but it will appear on iPlayer on the 23rd of December.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So RTD2 has terrified the Roman soldiers. Mm. I thought he'd be a big fan of gladiator films.
Oh dear.
Yes.
Again, yeah, we've got a lot of the fandom crying out about how it's going to be butchered.
Of course, be interested to see. But
I would be interested to see it. And also, you've got to remember, I think to a large extent, War Games was a standard 4-episode story yeah. that was padded out.
It was well padded.
But
there
was
a lot that can be lost,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Yeah. Capture, escape. Yes. Oh, what are we going to do now? Escape?
Yeah, I haven't watched it in a while. And it might be trickier to edit than we think, because maybe things happen every time they're captured, which they will need to somehow cover if they chop those bits out. I don't know.
I don't think that actually happens until perhaps the last capture. The first maybe. Capture and escape and the last capture and escape.
So I remember at one time didn't they get into the safe or something of the Second World War general or something? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
But yeah, things might have happened.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. I want to see this just out of sheer curiosity.
Curiosity, that's yeah. it, yeah.
And one thing they had in the last one in the Daleks, which they don't have here, which is really handy, is they could revoice the Daleks
oh, yeah.
to cover mm-hmm. the cuts.
Yes.
They which, don't have the luxury of that here.
Which I think they did.
They did, yeah. yeah Nick yeah. Briggs came in, and indeed...
the original Dalek voice.
The original Dalek voice who died recently.
Yeah.
Royce Gilson.
No.
Played Parker.
Oh, yes.
The name escapes me yes, to my eludes, shame.
It like eludes us, yeah.
Graham or something?
David
Graham? But yeah, they got them back in
yeah.
to do Dalek voice to cover the chopped bits, which I don't know how they're going to do that here. Obviously, they've still got Fraser Hines.
Yes, so they can do is sort of like with the audio and have Fraser Hines come back in and record dialogue.
Yeah, they could do a bit of ADR where you don't see them speak, you just see the back of their heads or something like that, which yeah. they do all the time in modern TV.
Yeah, there are ways. I mean, no, as I say, it'll be an interesting... And as you've said in the past, because it's black and white, people won't go back to see it because it's black and white.
Yeah.
As you said, our own exploration. Of the Who sagas shies away from the black and white.
Yeah, we really shouldn't. And also beginning to the point where we've seen pretty much all the colour stuff.
All the colours, yeah.
Yeah, we've reviewed it all.
Yes, we must do a few more black and white.
We must.
We shall make a pledge now.
2025.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. The year of black and white Doctor Who.
Yes. We're going to dip our feet
in the black and white pool.
Yes, indeed.
Star Trek Shatner returns.
Yeah.
To celebrate the astonishing fact that it has been 30 years since we last saw Shatner play James Tiberius Kirk in Star Trek : Generations.
You like your colons, don't you?
There's no ER with the colon.
The big man himself has reprised the role for a new short film.
Mm-hmm.
Dubbed 76874 Unification. This short uses a combination of archive footage and CGI to recreate Kirk as he appeared at different stages of the franchise in an effort to give the character a better send-off than Generations afforded him.
Mm.
Shatner himself provided some of the new character work, yeah, thanks to some de-aging, as well as sharing the role with Sam Witwer via face replacement technology.
Mm.
Yeah, Lawrence Selleck stepped in to play Spock. Returning actors include an unaltered Robin Curtis as an older Sarvik, and Gary Lockwood as a de-aged Gary Mitchell.
Mm.
The short, along with at least three others, can be seen at the Roddenberry Archive website, roddenberry.x.io.
Yeah.
I have seen this.
Me too. I didn't sit through all the credits, must admit. But,
I didn't sit through the credits, but I have seen this, yes.
Yeah, I did too. Yeah, it was quite well done. I saw a still of it and thought, that looks a bit CG. But actually, in the short itself, it looked...
It looks
okay.
Very good. Yeah.
You could tell it wasn't quite natural.
Yeah.
But it did
it's,
the job.
It's a very, for what it is, it's a very high-class production, I thought.
Yes. There's some surprising bits in there, too.
Yeah. And so the
spoil.
The question, well, as it's been mentioned there, the question has been asked, has William Russell now lost the record?
Yeah, maybe.
So the longest amount of years before returning to a role. Does this count as for Gary Mitchell?
Oh, for Gary Mitchell?
For Gary Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose, maybe, yeah.
I mean, is Gary Lockwood still alive?
Yes,
blimey. He is. Yeah, and he was there. Much as with Shatner, I think they were there just to say that they were there.
Yeah.
They weren't actually required. They didn't do much other than just... Well, as you said, with Gary
Mitchell, he says... nothing at all. It's just a picture of his face. I think he opens his eyes and that's about it.
Yeah.
You think that the William Russell record still stands?
I'd say so, yeah.
Okay. I'm willing to...
That it could be argued.
Yeah.
Much of the same way that at one point Guinness World Record said Stargate was the longest running sci-fi franchise when it hadn't even done 26 years.
No.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely worth watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
It's not on YouTube, but there is a trailer on YouTube, and there's a link in that trailer to the website.
You can find it because it's not on YouTube, but I have seen it.
And it is free to watch.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, give that a whirl.
It's about 15 minutes, I think.
Less than that, probably 6-7, I think.
Anyway.
And not a word is spoken.
There is a sound clip.
Oh, yeah.
But not a word is spoken by any of the characters that you see.
Yes, there is a bit of audio taken from elsewhere. But
yeah.
At the beginning, but yeah, none of the characters actually speak.
No, it's all meaningful looks.
It is, and it's open to interpretation in theory.
Staring into the middle distance.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Although they've said quite clearly who some of the characters are and what it means, but
yeah.
It's meant to be open to interpretation.
Yeah.
That hasn't stopped them talking about what they meant by it.
Well, that's why they said it.
Anyway, Doctor Who.
Oh.
More merch.
More merch.
More merch.
Are you wanting a furry 15? If so, then Build-A-Bear's a teddy for you. Buy him clothesless for £30, the same Doctor Who bear you get with the 4th or 10th Doctor sets, or as a £65 gift set with one of 15's costumes, a special TARDIS box. Yeah. Those already with a Build-A-Bear can buy just the outfit with a little version of his sonic screwdriver and shoes for £31.
Oh.
And those audio mongers at Big Finish have finally, a year after the rest of the series, released Once and Future : Coda.
Mm-hmm.
This brings the less than stellar Once and Future to a close with Joe Martin's Fugitive Doctor, Jonathan Carley's Youngish War Doctor, and Lisa Bowman's Bernice Summerfield.
Yes.
I've heard it's quite good. I've not heard it yet, but...
I think we've discussed this before. As a grouped box set, it was adequate.
Yeah.
There are one or two good stories in there that
I
think stand up above the rest.
Yeah, but the whole overarching plot. Anyway. But more than that, this kicks off Big Finish's Fugitive Doctor era with her first box set, now named as The Fugitive Doctor : Most Wanted.
Ooh.
This first box set will be released in January, just over 2 years after it was announced and opened for pre-orders. I'd looked and I pre-ordered it back in December 2022. Those with more sense of time than Big Finish can spend an hour trying to escape the now updated Doctor Escape Room.
Oh, yes. Mm.
Up until now, this has featured the voice and image of Jodie Whittaker's 13th Doctor, but now it has been updated to feature Shuti Gatwa's 15th, along with his sonic screwdriver. You can find this game, dubbed A Dalek Awakens, at Escape Hunt's Reading facility.
Oh. We keep saying it every year.
I assumed it had long gone, but clearly not. Getting a bit of a refresh. Bit of a shame, would have liked to have seen it with
Jodie.
With Whittaker's. Too late now.
Yeah.
There's anything wrong with 15, of course.
No. And so the Build-A-Bear, I think the photo I saw, the fur on the bear is of a darker persuasion. It's still ginger, but it's a darker ginger than the rest.
Well, they've updated all the images, so if you look at the other Doctors, they have the same bear.
Okay.
So I don't know if they have updated the bear, or if they have it, it's just all Doctors now have that same bear.
Okay, I
don't know.
I sit corrected.
But it does come with a little Doctor Who logo on the bottom of its foot.
Yeah.
And a double heart on its chest.
Of course it's got to have.
Yeah.
Well, it's only right and proper.
I think I've got a Build-A-Bear over there. The top one in that second shelf up.
Oh, the up there.
It's the 11th Doctor one.
Yeah.
That's a Build-A-Bear.
Oh, so
and he is certainly lighter than the one they're now showing. Yeah.
We got the Pugsy Build-A-Bears.
Yeah, I've got the bottom one there is the 11th Doctor Pugsy one. Then the one above that's the Build-A-Bear 11th. I've got the Pudsey Whittaker at the top above your head up there.
Yeah. Anyway.
Too much stuff around here.
Far too much, as goes with everything else.
Any addendums?
I've got an addendum. I have
addendums.
Two addendums.
All right.
Addendum the first, the Doctor Who role-playing game.
Yes.
The fan site. Since the 50th anniversary, they have been doing the non-canonical stories.
Yep.
Every annual, every comic strip, every audio play.
Mm.
They have finally reached Doctor number 8, audio only.
Okay.
Mm. So, because there's such a large chunk.
That's a lot of eight Doctor audios.
Yeah, this is volume 2, because they already did, volume 1 was the books. So volume 2 is meant to be the straight audios.
Wow. An ending job.
It is an ongoing, and the thing is, what I like to point out is it is completely free, voluntary.
Yep.
Everything in it is done by people who have not been paid.
Yeah.
And it's free to download from the standard site, either the Doctor Who forum page, which I think we've got a link to, or the actual page, the actual guy who's hosting it.
Okay, yeah.
Which I can't remember off the top of my head. I really should research these things more.
The links will be in the show notes.
Links will be in the show notes, but it's there. It's free to download. It's a PDF format. And the whole thing is dynamic as well, so they keep bringing out addendums. There's at least two volumes of the first Doctor at the moment, the original section, and then updates.
Yep.
So it is still ongoing, which again is phenomenal in my opinion.
As long as Big Finish hold the license, there be more.
Yeah, they'll keep churning it out.
Yeah, even once McGann dies, they just recast it. That's what they do.
Or AI.
Yeah. Well, by that time, they'll have the AI voice print.
That's so true.
Could,
you've certainly done enough audios that they could easily do an AI of this stuff now.
Yeah,
like us, I worry about that sometimes. We've done so many podcasts that somebody could easily duplicate our voices at this point. Just feed our podcast
voice will come out.
460 episodes.
That's what I think you're doing up in your computer room. You have all the voices in there, so I can't be asked with them. I don't want to talk to Keith anymore. We'll just replace him with his voice.
Yeah. So long after we're all dust on the wind, the podcast will still be going.
We are actually dust on the wind already, you know.
Yeah.
Addendum number 2. Still with role-playing.
Oh, right.
Dungeons & Dragons is now owned by Hasbro.
Yeah, for quite a while.
Has been for quite a while. Mm-hmm. According to my sources, Elon Musk is attempting to get hold of Hasbro.
Oh, God.
So Elon Musk will be...
Because he wants D&D particularly?
I'm not sure if it's because he's after D&D in particular.
Transformers,
but,
maybe? Transformers. That's Hasbro, isn't it?
Yeah, he's after Hasbro. He's putting a bid for it.
Okay.
So it's no longer going to be called Hasbro. It'll probably be called Q. It will accept any invites or any illustrations from anybody, anywhere, anyhow.
He has such respect for Musk. He's long gone now.
Yeah, I am surprised when I see him in public without holding a white cat and stroking him.
All I can say is, Donald Trump, watch your back.
He couldn't become president, could he?
I don't know.
Wasn't he born in South Africa?
Yeah, but there again, times change, and so does law. So,
He's trying. Trump is trying to get rid of what is it, the 27th Amendment at the moment.
Well, the three-term thing.
Yeah,
but he's going to be about 90. Well, certainly mid-80s by the time that comes around.
Don't think he takes that into account.
No.
Anyway, that's my addendums. I am addendumed out.
Thus endeth the news.
Woo!
Dear listeners, we've all been watching a film.
A film?
In the loosest sense of the word.
Yeah. What film have we been watching? Is it a unique film? A film that was original? A film that had a great idea behind it with a beginning, middle and end?
No.
Oh.
Yes, we have all been watching Highlander 2, The Quickening.
Yeah.
Pause for music.
A type of milkshake, The Quickening.
Nesquickening.
Nesquick, yes.
Oh, okay.
The Nesquickening.
Yeah, but it wouldn't surprise me if they would do a sequel called that. Yeah.
This is what confused me so much about this film. With Highlander, it was a one shot and done. It had a beginning, middle, end. It solved and resolved all the problems.
Mm-hmm.
It must have done certain amount in the bankroll because somebody said, hang on a minute. This has made some money. Can we squeeze that cash cow a little bit more?
It famously lost money, didn't it, at the box office?
Yeah.
The first film. But it became really popular on VHS.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. That's where it made its money.
A cult classic.
It did.
Which it is, to my mind, it is a cult. The original film is a cult classic.
Oh, good grief, very much so.
The only reason I agreed to review this is because I initially thought it was Highlander. But then somebody said two, and I missed the two.
The reason is that it's set in 2024.
Yeah.
And this was our final podcast of 2024, barring the Christmas special next time.
So all bets are off with the Christmas special.
It's now or never, really, for this. So, it felt like the perfect time. I'd never seen it before. But his reputation definitely preceded it.
Yeah.
And you know what? The first half I didn't think was that bad. I thought, what are people complaining about? The second half went a bit flaccid, I think.
Yeah.
It fell flat on its face.
It is, if you'll excuse me, a film Dave would have watched.
Yes.
I wonder what he thought of it. I'll have to ask Elizabeth if she knows.
Yeah.
What can I say about this movie? The word superfluous comes to mind.
As I said in the intro, it's tacked onto a film that the story was done with. It had finished.
But the irony is that the first film should be called The Quickening.
Yeah.
Because that's when The Quickening happened.
Because that was one of the...
it didn't.
Yeah.
Did it? I suppose we should quickly go over the concept.
What happened? What was the plot?
So,
if it had one.
Yeah. MacLeod is now mortal.
Yeah. Mm,
yes.
As in the last film.
And an old man.
Yeah. And in 1999, there was a problem with the ozone layer, which, was a real thing in the 70s, 80s, 90s, whatever. And it was getting worse rather than better. So they put up some kind of technological force shield.
Mm, shield, yes.
Isn't that in Red Dwarf a toupee for the planet Earth?
Yeah. And oddly, they say Africa's been hit really badly by it, which is weird because the ozone layer hole started at the poles.
Yeah. Yes.
Has it entirely gone? I don't know.
Maybe gone down as far as Africa.
Yeah, it's really bad if it's gone that far.
Yeah.
So he's somehow part of the team that created the shield. And then jump forward 25 years later to 2024, this year, and everybody's suffering under the shield.
Yeah.
And there's an evil corporation in charge of it.
It produces this sort of weird blue laser light. Everyone's living in twilight.
Yeah.
Basically. That's pretty much it. It's dark, it's miserable. Yeah.
It reminds me a lot, oddly, of the Marvel What If with Nebula. Do you remember that? Where Xandar had been covered in a shield to prevent Ronan getting in.
Yeah, and
they're all suffering under this shield.
They hadn't lowered the shield,
At the end, the shield is open and everybody's happy to see the sky again, which, spoilers, but that happens here too. But anyway, so he's getting old, and for some reason, in the original cut, it turns out they're all aliens.
They're from the planet Zeist.
Yeah, they're actually exiled and condemned to live on the Earth from the planet Zeist.
Where, like Superman, they gain special powers of immortality in this case. And then for some reason, the bad guy of Zeist...
The dictator of Zeist.
Mm. Yeah.
Sort of General Katana.
Yeah, decides, he's still alive, we need to take him out.
Mm. Yeah. Although, why? Because he's getting old, he's going to die soon.
Yeah.
So he sends two goons to take him out, and suddenly there's no longer only one, there are now three.
Yes. If I remember rightly, he manages to take the goons out, which we have the next light display, and zap, he's been rejuvenated, and he's back to his old Highlander self.
Is he now mortal again at that point? Apparently not.
Yeah, I think.
Because he's now the only one left.
Yeah.
For that brief period.
For that brief moment,
But
he killed off the other two.
Because if I remember rightly, seems to be one of them dying replenishes his power back to youth.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if the other one dies, he can bring people back.
Which he does. Which is really hard.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we get Sean Connery back from the dead.
Yes, Ramirez, yes.
Yeah, we have Sean Connery back from the dead, who suddenly appears in the middle of a...
Macbeth.
Yeah, Macbeth.
So... I'm assuming that this theatre is where he died, which would have been that old castle tumbled down
Maybe.
From, you know.
Maybe.
It seemed a bit of a shame that he just appears out of thin air.
Yeah.
Would have been nice if you'd seen his bones and
sort
then...
Sort of all reconstitutes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
The phrase that sprang to mind when I saw this was "carry on, Highlander."
Certainly he's only a grand old time because he's jumped 500 years since he died.
Good grief, yeah. So he's getting to grips with the modern world.
He's amazed by aircraft. He comes from an alien planet, can travel across space.
Yeah.
And he's surprised by an aircraft. Yeah. But anyway, let's not think too hard about it.
I'm just wondering how much he picked up for this. Because apparently...
$3.5 million, I think
he said.
For 9 days' work.
He got paid a hell of a lot for about a week's worth the first time round. Yeah.
Everything he did was apparently done in 9 days, and he was paid $3.5 million.
Yeah.
Which back in 1990, 1991, wherever they actually filmed
it. It was quite a bit of money.
A lot of money now, but back then...
Yeah, even more money.
More than 30 years ago.
Yeah.
How much did it cost him to don the red nappy of Zardos?
He paid them for that.
Yeah, I think somebody got paid for that.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
Yeah. I think photographs were exchanged and things were forgotten about.
Mm. Yeah.
And then we have a whole new batch of immortals to come down to attempt to take Connor McCloud out.
Three, isn't it? So we've got those two goons, then Katana, the evil Michael Ironside.
Played by Michael Ironside, yeah.
Who I saw his name, the credits, thought he's going to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
You know, immediately you see his name.
There was that period where he was Rent-A-Tyrant.
Mm. Yes.
Every single bad guy for a couple of films.
Either Rent-A-Tyrant or Rent-An Anti-Hero.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
Occasionally play a grumpy colonel or something, or Ham Tyler type,
Starship Trooper,
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But yeah, he comes on and he's very Kurgan-like.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Particularly on the subway.
That was the blueprint. I'm sorry... Michael Ironside is a good actor, is a good character, but he's not the Kurgan. He should have
should have played it a bit differently.
Differently.
Differentiate it.
Yeah, either that or they brought back what's his name? Clancy Brown.
Yeah.
Apparently they did ask him to come back for a cameo, but he refused.
Because
it doesn't make sense that he's not referenced, really.
Yeah.
Because if they've been exiled to Earth,
surely
why didn't we see him get exiled to Earth? And also the other ones who we saw in the first film.
I mean, let's just say this film was full of gaping plot lines. I mean, the thing was, in the original movie, Ramirez said he was born in Egypt 2,000 years ago.
Yeah.
Yes.
So why were they on the planet Zeiss 500 years ago?
And why are they called Ramirez and McCloud Zeiss? Maybe a translation thing. But again, that then raises the whole question of, are they speaking English and stuff?
One wonders what went on behind the scenes. How many writers were in on this?
Well, Brian Clemens was one, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Obviously, Avengers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He's one of the two credited writers. I saw him saying, oh, interesting. I'm sure he got paid good money, but...
Interesting as in tongue-in-cheek, or...?
I suspect a lot of his stuff is rewritten, I don't know.
Yeah, but taking a step back, considering there is a cinema cut and a director's cut.
Yes, I did watch the both, and the director's cut changes the plot line in that they're not from planet Zeist. They're actually from way back in the past.
Okay.
And they're sent forward in time as exiles.
Okay.
So they are human. So that would make more sense of why Ramirez doesn't recognise things like planes and technology.
Yeah.
Even though they had some kind of magic or something.
Yeah, they had some ability.
Yeah. It doesn't explain at that point they knew each other before they were sent forward in time or across stars, whatever.
Yeah.
But yet in the first film, they don't recognise each other.
Yeah.
It doesn't stack up.
Yeah.
Either way.
While watching this, I did wonder whoever wrote this or conceived of this, did they have any notion or did they even watch the first film?
Yeah. It certainly makes you wonder.
Yeah.
Presumably they must have done, but weird. But I quite like some of the visuals of it. It's sort of sub-Blade Runner-y.
Yeah. I'll agree, it does have its moments, but they are isolated very far apart.
Yeah.
Much to my dismay, I mean, I found myself sort of fast-forwarding through a few of the scenes.
Really?
It's just the way that McCloud forms this almost instantaneous relationship with the leader of the Resistance.
Yeah.
Yeah, they meet each other and they're at it against the wall in about 5 minutes.
Up against the wheelie bin,
yeah, whatever it is. They literally just met. Okay. Yeah, I suppose he had just regained his vigour at that point.
Wanted to prove something to prove.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's an odd choice for leader of this terrorist, in inverted commas, freedom fighters, whatever, gang. You believe it at first, but then the second half of the film, she's lost that entirely. She's just a
damsel in distress.
Another
eye candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as for how Ramirez goes out, that's very weird.
He stayed around for such a long time as well.
Yeah, all of that effort to get across to New York.
Yeah.
And then almost immediately sacrifices himself.
Yeah.
It's a weird one.
I can feel my brain sliding out of my ear again, just discussing it.
No. I'm not quite sure about the choice of Alden MacLeod putting on that almost godfather-like raspy voice.
Yeah.
Oh, good grief, yeah.
No disrespect, but he was acting old.
Yes, and apparently that's what old people sound like.
Yeah, yeah.
Allegedly.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, there's good stuff. The whole death slide thing down that. I suppose it must be some kind of hydropower plant, whatever it is. That was rather impressive. And the flying stunt when the two goons turn up.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. You can tell how it's done, but it's quite interesting.
Yeah. It's not really a patch on the original, the first
good grief,
one.
No.
For example, despite what is the story or what is done, it was the sheer cinematography that attracted me to the first. Those marvellous cuts and fades.
Oh, yes, I don't have any of that.
Yeah, nothing like that.
Well, and the Queen soundtrack as
well. Yeah, it didn't.
They did get a couple of Queen songs in there, didn't they? The moment you went to the jukebox, I just knew that they were going to do
The Kind of Magic.
It's the Kind of Magic, And then, what's the other one? Who Wants to Live Forever is played a little bit.
But it's, and to my mind, they don't flow in the film. They're inserted as, remember this bit from the first film?
Yeah.
They are completely different beasts. So watching it in isolation, you wouldn't know necessarily that it's a second part of a trilogy. You know, there is nothing.
No.
There's no flow.
The song Who Wants to Live Forever, I mean, that is so poignant in the first film.
Yeah,
I mean, sort of, yes, MacLeod was staying young while Heather, she was growing old and dying. Yeah.
In the way it's literally inserted in the second film.
It's just shoehorned in.
Well, it's you remember this? Wasn't it great first time round?
Let's try it again.
Oh. Can we move on?
Oh, good grief. The scene where Ramirez is on the plane. Airplane sprang to mind straight away. I mean.
Oh, yes. Him getting his new outfit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which I'm sure he was allowed to keep.
It looked vaguely tartan, so I'm sure he
They look quite good, actually, though, but and music by Stuart Copeland.
Yes, which I found very surprising. The drummer with the police.
Yeah, and also he did
Babylon 5.
Babylon 5.
The original version of The Gathering, Babylon 5 pilot.
So, in summing up, our thoughts on Highlander 2...
It wasn't as bad as I'd expected, given everything I heard about it. It had its moments. It fumbled towards the end. The big fight at the end with Katana was a bit of a nothing fight.
Yeah.
And you could see from a mile off what the solution was going to be. But, you know, I kind of enjoyed it in its own odd way. Is it as good as the first?
No, not by a long shot. It doesn't compare.
No. And as I understand it, the future films, it totally ignored the Zeiss thing as well.
Yeah.
That has been rewritten entirely.
It's a good film to get drunk to.
I can imagine,
Yes. My thoughts on it are, it had its moments, but apart from that, it was rather cringeworthy. Highlander 3 redeemed itself, but it was pretty much a remake of the first movie.
Yeah.
Well, that's always going to be the problem. It's the premise is fairly limited. I've never seen the TV series. I presume it's just him going from place to place each episode, writing wrongs.
There's not necessarily going to place to place. Occasionally we have the immortal of the week. Occasionally it's the criminal or crime. This is it. I'm excited and have my fears for the remake.
If it ever happens.
If it ever happens. Mm. It's stuck in development hell at the moment. But as I say, you've got to understand it's a one-shot film. If you're going to turn it into a trilogy, then you can't make him become the winner at the end. You've got to have something big happen to him at the end of the first film.
I did quite like how they got around the fact that he is now mortal by having other immortals turn up, and therefore the game is back on, effectively.
Yeah.
Why had that come from another world? Or even from another time? I don't know. Why can't this be another immortal born during those 25 years and come at him? I don't know, but...
Anyway, if you have seen, watched, or would like to see this film, I pity you. I really pity you.
If you have been affected by this film...
You can call this number.
But tell us your thoughts on show
at staggeringstories.net.
Woo!
There can be only one.
Yeah. And then another one. And maybe another one more.
And the TV series.
Yep. Talking of Highlanders, Bonnie Heather and kilts.
Yes.
We have been watching, listening, reading something else. Doctor Who, the Highlanders. Pause for music.
Troughton's
second story. You can tell it's his second story.
Yes, the Doctor's barely in it as himself.
Yeah. Basically, the TARDIS crew featuring the Doctor, number two, Ben and Polly, have materialised at Culloden Field.
Oh, yes.
Just after the last final battle.
Yes.
So the Scots have been routed. Bonnie Prince Charlie is making his way to France.
Was it Sky?
It could have been France via Sky.
Or BSB.
And... And the English are there stamping their authority and routing the natives.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Including one, Jamie McCrimmon.
Mm-hmm. It's one of the last historical stories.
I think it is. Yes. Pretty much the last until we get to Davison.
Yeah, Black Orchid. Yeah.
Pure historical. Yeah. There are no alien threats.
Yeah,
no,
the only sci-fi element is the TARDIS and the TARDIS crew.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it.
So it's a bit of a hangover from the Hartnell days. It's not surprising, given it is a very early script for.
And I was struck by it's his own it's Troughton's own interpretation.
Yeah.
But his Doctor is very Hartnell-esque to my mind, as in disguises.
Yes, nothing but disguises.
Yeah, which not all the time, I admit, but it was something Hartnell used to do. Was ditch his own clothes, dress up in something else, and pretend to be someone else for reasons of plot.
Mm.
So we do get a lot of that.
Yeah, something which Troughton drops fairly quickly, I think.
Yeah, by the next one, which I think is Moonbase.
The Underwater Menace.
Underwater Menace, cool. Yeah. We still get a little bit in the Underwater Menace. And then by Moonbase, he's established what he wants to do.
Yeah, he's put his mark on the character.
Mm. Yeah. But certainly this one, I get the feeling that, one, it possibly could have been a Hartnell story.
Yeah.
But two, Pat Troughton himself is not too sure how to play the character.
He's almost hiding behind the Doctor playing these characters.
Yes.
To not define his own Doctor yet, yes. Yeah, nevertheless, though, it's quite good fun, but I suspect not very memorable. I say that because when I suggested this, I thought we'd never reviewed it. We have actually reviewed this before.
Yeah.
Oh, 10 years ago when we did Highlander, the first film. So here we are again doing Highlander 2 and the Highlanders again.
Yeah.
And, well,
but no, I see history repeating itself.
No. We're doing Highlander or Highlander 2 and the Highlanders 2.
I can't remember how I ingested it last time, but I'm sure I didn't watch it.
I think it's with production stills.
Yeah, this time I did watch the loose canon reconstruction.
Yeah, the photo stories.
I have to say, nothing came flooding back. So it's like I'd watched it for the first time.
Here, well, I've got to admit, listening to it, because I listened to the narrated one, the BBC audio.
Yes.
And again, nothing leapt out at me, because I'm, hang on, this sounds familiar. But,
interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. Having said that, I don't think anything's wasted. It's a nice, small, contained story. It's only 4 episodes.
It is, which is surprising for that time.
I mean, most of the show episodes were 7 or 8 or, in one case, at least 10.
Well, indeed, for his final one, yeah.
Yeah, but it's very lean. It's not really anything wasted.
Yeah.
As in, with most Who's, certainly in this period, we have the escape, capture. The only story there is episode 1 and episode 2, and everything else is... Episode 1, episode 4, and everything else is escape and capture.
Yeah, so this is the first time I've actually heard an audio described story. Yeah.
I can't remember who does it. Is it Fraser Hines?
Fraser Hines in this
does
one.
The, when you're watching the loose canon reconstruction, there's a lot of text filling in what's happening. The audio doesn't cover it.
You've got to read.
Yeah.
Again, we also get the villain of the piece is the lawyer, essentially.
Yeah, Grey.
Grey. Mm. He is definitely the protagonist that they're trying to fight against.
Yeah.
Cause trying to sell the Highlanders into slavery in the plantations over in Jamaica.
Or wherever, yes.
Yeah.
None of the English come well out of this at all.
Apart from
our companions.
Well, the only one I think we could have remote lightning is Algernon Finch. Finch.
Yes, mm-hmm. With the two Fs. Yeah, at the end he comes out good.
You certainly get the impression that he's the type of soldier who bought his commission, or had his officership bought for him.
He doesn't come across as the smartest one in the platoon.
What is it? The family idiot either went into the clergy or the army.
Yeah, yeah, very much.
He chose the latter rather than the former.
Or had it chosen for him. But yeah, certainly the foot soldiers aren't up to much.
No, they were very ready to hang their rebels.
Turn traitor to the crown.
Yeah. Mm. So they don't deserve to become a prisoner of war. Just kill them. I'm sure that already happened.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. But that is something that struck me is certainly in the first episode, the Doctor seems very placid.
Yeah.
If Grey hadn't come along when he did, they would have been hanged. You wasn't told of any plan that he was about to put into action.
No, it didn't seem to be any, no.
Who's just quite happy to go along with it all.
Although, was that the cliffhanger for episode one? I forget.
It's close to the end. If it's not the cliffhanger, it's close to the end.
You obviously often get main characters acting a bit stupid towards cliffhanger time.
I will acknowledge that was for the point of the plot. Acknowledge that. But it did seem to be, if not out of character to my mind, it was a little bit, hang on a minute.
Yes. Nowadays, of course, the Doctor was whip out a screwdriver and
burn the rope or
cut the rope somehow or something. Yes,
yeah. But anyway, also for its time period, I thought Polly was very proactive.
She was the best character in it.
Yeah,
blimey.
Yeah,
Ben didn't do that much. Most of the time he was captured.
Yeah, in chains or underwater.
Mm. Yep. Yeah. Jamie, even less so.
Yeah.
Why they thought he'd be a good companion at this point, I have no idea. He turned out to be a great companion. Yeah. But based on this, he wouldn't have thought so.
Based on what we saw, I wouldn't have thought so. I'm sure it was sort of more the way the actor gelled behind the scenes.
Perhaps, yes.
It's maybe the things that we
should... Perhaps got on really well, which obviously they did over the course of their time together, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's more to do with that than what we actually saw.
Yeah. I heard somebody say that people were writing in to say, make Jamie a companion. But I don't know what that would be based on, and that would be very quick for them to turn around. I know they only film a couple of weeks ahead.
About 2 weeks ahead, I think.
But they'd have to have been writing on the first episode or second episode for that to be possible. But Polly was really good.
Yeah.
Her falling Finch and stuff like that, to make him fall into the hole was very good.
And the inspiration to steal his ID pass.
Yeah.
So he can use it later down the line.
But she didn't have much time for...
Kirsty.
Kirsty, yeah. Did she call her? Stupid wench or something like that?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
Kirsty was more into what I would have expected the companion to be at that time period.
Yes.
Certainly, I find Susan and Victoria, when I rewatch or re-
oh, yes.
very, very annoying.
Mm. Yes.
I know...
Penelope Pitstop.
Yeah. I know Annika Wills said at the time, all the females on TV were sort of action figures, and she tried to go against that. Go the opposite way, but in this one she's much more proactive.
Oh yes, yeah, definitely, yeah, yeah. She's no screaming violet at all.
No.
Good grief. No.
She's a modern woman.
That's it, in every sense of the
60s or whatever.
Well, the '60s,
yeah.
She was very good.
I have to return back to the Doctor with his
Doctor von Ver, whatever
his
it was.
His German accent, very. Ooh. Caricatured.
Terrible.
Yes. Yeah.
Terrible. Had Pat Trout never met a German?
It's the basic.
Was it almost as good as Christopher Lombier's old man accent?
Yeah. Well, I was thinking sort of alo alo at times.
Yes. English soldiers from that time wouldn't recognise a German accent.
Oh,
so,
yeah, if he gave up and jumped up and gave him a haircut. But,
I can quite
and also
believe
the,
him falling for it.
The captain of the vessel.
Trask,
yeah. Certainly, he'd been watching a lot of Treasure Island.
Yeah, he definitely thought of himself as a pirate, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
You scurvy swabs.
Oh, no.
Yeah. obviously, this is set in, what, 1746? So yeah. It is around that era where the height of the piracy and all that.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
I can see what he's doing, but considering the pirate accent was invented by the actor who did Long John Silver in the 1950s, most pirates sounded like they're from the world over. It wasn't a particular...
No, obviously, it's meant to be a Cornwall accent, but exaggerated, I suppose, wasn't it? That's where that came from originally, and there'd be some truth to that.
I think it's more of an exaggerated Cornish accent.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yes.
Mummerset, I believe the technical term is. Mm-hmm. But again, I might complain and bitch on this, but it's still, I enjoyed it. It's still within the, you know, I don't mean to detract from the episodes.
No. It's an odd choice of name, it called the Highlanders.
Mm. Yeah.
But actually, it's almost entirely about the English soldiers. The Highlanders were just captured.
The Highlanders,
they put in the hold of that ship. And
yeah, they were in it, but they were mostly isolated in the hold, taken from the cottage to the prison, from the prison to the ship.
They were more MacGuffins than protagonists, really, weren't they?
Yeah, it is certainly centres on the not-so-pleasant English.
Yeah.
Certainly with the Solicitor Grey, because he treated virtually everyone the same, including his Perkins, his...
Perkins, the comedy assistant.
Yeah, the secretary.
Yeah, who also turned at the end for a bit of money.
Yeah, jumped ship.
He did. Yeah, he was more than willing to take a bit of cash to change sides.
Yeah.
Not quite so honourable as for Finch, as Finch was.
For Finch.
And this was co-written by Jerry Davis.
Yes.
Who was the script editor at the time.
Yeah.
It was also co-written by Elwin Jones, I think.
Yeah.
So presumably that... The script came in from Jones and Jerry Davis completely rewrote it.
Had to be worked upon.
So put his name as a co-writer,
yeah.
I assume.
I'm wondering how much is which is which.
Indeed.
How much got rewritten.
And it amused me somewhat that they were taken to Inverness.
Why does that amuse you?
Because, of course, we have a companion in the 2010 who comes from Inverness, or at least
the
actor who plays the companion came from Inverness. Well, so, yeah, there's a connection there. Yeah,
Pond was Scottish, but we don't know which part.
Yeah, we don't know exactly where she originally came from.
Yeah.
Maybe assume Inverness, because that's where Dylan comes from.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It dovetails nicely. She has an Inverness accent.
Yes. Yeah, indeed.
But, yeah. It was a major port at the time, Inverness.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
But people have said for some time the reason why it's not been animated is because of all the
Tartan. One of the possible theories is because of all
but
the
now
Tartan.
Now I've seen, okay, it's still, it's telly snaps mostly, but the reconstruction. I don't know that that's really that big a deal.
Well, not nowadays, I mean, as I say.
I assumed it was mostly full of Highlanders, but it isn't. It's full of redcoats and the actual amount of tartan in it is pretty minimal.
Yeah.
Got Jamie, you've got a couple of his compatriots. The Laird basically doesn't move. He's been injured.
Yeah.
So he's lying there. It's not like they've got to worry about his tartan moving around too much. So I don't know. I don't know if I buy that.
So anymore. I am not sure whether that started as a joke or...
Maybe, yes.
Yeah, that rumour started as a joke and gained its own momentum, or what?
That was going to be one of the questions I was going to ask. I mean, sort of, would the Highlanders be animated?
I can't see why not. I mean, basically, they animate Hartnell's checked trousers and Troughton's checked trousers.
Yes. Typically, if they are moving towards this 3D way of animation, then it doesn't become a problem at all. It's only in 2D animation where it's really an issue.
Yeah,
in 3D, it will follow the models. But, yeah. Apparently, the director, Hugh David, was an actor in the early 60s. It was considered for the First Doctor.
Oh.
But considered too young, because he was 38 years old at the time.
Yeah.
Ooh. Interesting.
Would it have been one of the photographs that we saw in Time and Space? Because I do remember when the desk had various snapshots of actors.
Oh, quite possibly, yes. Yeah. Probably. Interesting.
Headshots of various actors.
Yeah. Another interesting thing here on Wikipedia, assuming it's true, of course, is the Highlanders was the first ever Doctor Who to be wiped.
Oh.
Just 2 months after its broadcast.
Yeah.
They really didn't hang around, did they?
At that point, nothing had been repeated. Because the first one to be repeated, I think, was Evil of the Daleks.
Maybe. Well, not counting, obviously, the first episode.
Not counting the first episode, but, yeah, as a regular repeat.
Yeah.
The first one was Evil of the Daleks, so...
Right, yeah.
Well, if you have watched, enjoyed, or tossed the caber of Highlanders, why don't you write in and tell us what you think at... Show
at
staggeringstories.net.
Woo! We all get two.
particularly tell us if Troughton as that woman turned you on in some way.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, do we have feedback?
We do have a bit of feedback.
Whoa, ooh. Feedback. You love us. You really love us. Oh, I'm so happy that you love us. Right, we have feedback from... Oh, dear.
Oh, dear.
Oh. Yes, I'm being glared at.
Oh, yes, we are.
He's balancing Dinky McSquirtalot on his head and he's glaring at me.
He's probably going to eat Dinky if we don't do something.
Oh, don't eat Dinky. Oh, together now. One, two, three.
Hello, head of Pertwee.
Handles, Nebula, Inky McSquirtalot, Dinky McSquirtalot,
Dave Zill and the Mighty,
Graham,
Moomin,
Terence,
the Ashes of Grunhilda Knobnacker.
Terence, actually, yeah, in the kitchen still.
Mm. Oh, no.
He went in there for a bit of D&D action the other day. He had to return.
Yep.
The orange glow of Clara.
Right. As I was saying, we have one here from Dragon Maker.
Ah.
Hello, Catherine.
Hello.
Hello, Staggerers.
Hello.
Hello, Terence. Have you been behaving yourself? Well, actually, he has been joining in on the D&D action on Wednesday. Yeah.
Being a dragon seems perfect.
Yeah, yeah. Being ferocious and going,
yes. And met, what's the other dragon called? Doris.
Doris the dragon, yes. Hello, Dave Zilla Mighty. Hello, Head of Pertwee. Procrastination has gotten the better of me again. Oh. And I'm racing to get this feedback. She was racing because we only got the written version, not the audio.
Indeed.
Yeah. not that we object. You know, any feedback is marvellous.
It's very nice.
Indeed.
Yeah. Bum. So racing to get this feedback out to you before recording time. And I lost my notes.
Oh.
Yeah. So Dragon Maker is winging it again.
Whee! Good.
Planet of Giants.
Oh, yes.
Was a really good start to the second season.
Yeah.
The props and the sets were very well done. I believe we mentioned that.
Yeah, yes. I think it actually won the award, or at least put up for an award.
But it's too bad Barbara's characterization was weaker than usual. Well,
yes.
she was infected with the...
Well, poisoned.
Poisoned, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, that's okay. In the next story, she's running Daleks over with a bus. Things balance out.
Oh,
certainly do.
I've never seen the TV version of that.
Hmm.
The final part of Doctor Who Once and Future has come out at last, and I've had a listen. Ooh.
Oh, right. Yes.
For those who haven't heard it yet, my spoilerless review is that it was a pleasant way to spend an hour, and I liked it.
Good.
It was, if I may, fantastic.
Okay.
No, but it's always good to hear various characters again.
Good, yes.
In Star Wars news, I'm glad to hear we finally have a date for Andor Season 2.
Oh, yes.
It's been a long wait, but we only have 5 more months to go. I am looking forward to Skellington's Crew, which starts tonight as I write.
Oh, really?
Must get this wrapped up and sent. Take care, my friends. Anon, the Dragon Maker.
Thank you.
Catherine. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine.
I have to resub to Disney Plus, aren't I?
Yeah. Looks like.
I might give it a week or two so I can do it in 1 month.
Let it build up. Let it build up and then watch them en masse.
Mm.
Well, is that it?
That is about it.
Oh, it's that time again. Thank God.
You're welcome.
Is it time to lead us out? Crumbly.
And so, dear listeners, that brings us to the end of another podcast. But never fear, in the next one there'll be more of the same. More fun, frivolity and jollity, more news and reviews, more hool than new.
Help me, they're holding me prisoner.
So, until that...
H!
For Highlander.
For Highlander and Highlanders.
Indeed. Harrowing.
Horrific.
Haughty.
Haunting. Horribles?
Horribles.
Thank you, Horribles.
Mm-hmm. Comes heaving...
Halitosis.
...towards us. This
Horatio.
Is me. Horatio. Indeed. Until then, this is me, Crumbly, saying, be seeing you.
Goodbye.
I would say something sweet and wonderful here, but I've left my quotes at home. I'm sorry.
That sounds like a quote. You have been listening to the Staggering Stories podcast, Series 1, Number 460, featuring Adam J. Purcell, Andy Simpkins and Keith Dunn. The views expressed here are those of the speaker and don't necessarily represent those of the other speakers or of the site. No copyright infringement is intended, and this is an El Presidente production for www.staggeringstories.net. We've made it out, but Karen and Jean are still, you know, still there, loading up their light trolleys with goods.
You know, she's going to kill you for putting her in a Tron parody.
Yep. Right, so as before, we could all hold our breaths for
a... Trying not to cough halfway through it or sneeze. Suddenly come down with a sneezing fit.
Yeah.
Jumbo 250 feet, centimetre telly. What did you get?
Oh, we're doing the interest rate. Well,
sorry. Going straight into it.
Oh, sorry.
I apologise. I'll just go and sit in the corner.
Now, where's my tea?
Where's your teeth?